Connect.
Engage.
Change.
This
is 702
for the curious.
22 minutes to 9 o'clock is the time. And of course, you're listening to the Karima Brown Show. My name is Aubrey Masango. Just had a very interesting conversation with the president of the South African Cabin Crew Association, Zazi Nsibanyoni Mugambi. And it appears that they are set to lock horns with the state-owned enterprise, South African Airways, following the resignation of the chief executive there, Vuyani Jagane. And they're basically saying that if he's not reinstated and the president does not intervene in this particular issue, they will be going on strike. I'm interested to hear from you. What will that yield in your opinion? And what do you make of the fact that the workers who for the longest time had been working under the conditions that the SAA is a developmental organization? In other words, an organization that does not have as its primary priority the priority of making a profit. That has now changed. It seems that outlook has changed. They are agreeing that the SAA has to be a profit-driven organization rather than what people call a developmental organization. In my assessment is that those two ideas don't necessarily have to be mutually exclusive. I think that it is possible to be developmental and still be profit-driven, but that's a case for another day. But it does feed into the question that I'm asking today. Are we diagnosing the ills of our economy correctly, objectively correctly, such that our economy is able to yield the kinds of investment returns that we're looking for? Or is our diagnosis largely ideologically driven? Yeah. And ideologically different on all sides and does not have, I suppose, the objectivity that's required by everybody in this economy in order to accommodate each other so that the economy actually works for all of us. I'm interested to hear your thoughts as far as that is concerned. And I'll give you examples as we go along. But that's my fundamental question to you. One, are we having an economic conversation in this country? Or is it always spliced and tinged with the accents of political ideology? And are we diagnosing the economy correctly? I think we're in a very, very precarious position, folks, and we need to start thinking perhaps differently about our economy. Kashif Wickham, president at the Progressive Professionals Forum, is my guest. Kashif, thank you very much for joining us. I really, really appreciate your time. You're calling for the president to convene a South African Black Executive Summit, which will dissect the state of corporate governance and management of state-owned enterprise. And I suppose it really fits in very well with the question that I'm asking generally. Are we interpreting? Are we assessing and understanding the state of our economy well enough? Good evening to you. Why are you calling for this summit, Kashif?
Good evening, Aubrey, and thank you for having us. Look, Aubrey, I think it's key, and previously, before you welcomed me, you spoke about what is the duty of South Africans. What is the duty of the state? What is the duty of private sector? And also equally important, if not more important, what are the duties of the SOCs? Now, we must understand that South Africa is a developmental economy. We must understand that all of us who participate must work on the premise that we're working with an unemployment rate, which is very high, must work on the premise that we've got a job market which is largely unskilled. And how do we as citizens, how do we as corporates assist the state in achieving an inclusive economic growth? Because that is very, very key.
So just break down for me, Kashif, the idea or the notion in very broad strokes that we are a developmental economy. Just break it down for me and what the implications of that are.
So developmental economy means that, for example, at SOCs, we are not saying that SOCs must be funded by the state, but certainly they must be financially independent. As a developmental state, we must acknowledge that we have 16 million plus people who receive social welfare on a monthly basis. But how does that social welfare stimulate the economy? How does that social welfare stimulate retailers, because that money goes back into the economy. And many times, South Africans forget this particular fact. And that is part of the legs of a developmental economy. Part of the legs of a developmental economy is to use SOCs like SAA, the Transnets, the telecoms, and see at how we can build up skills within those SOCs. The Spornet of the 1970s did very well in stimulating highly technical skills within the Afrikaner workforce at the time, and we must look at how the SOCs in today's 21st century can do the same and focus on doing the same.
Is that perhaps not the problem, Kashif, in that we are following a model that was premised on the development of skills for an exclusive portion of our economy and population, when we now have the challenge of having to service everybody? In other words, I hear the argument many times from people who say to me, oh, back in the day, the SOEs functioned. And I say, of course they did. But they functioned for the servicing of a very, very small portion of our population. And that was the stated and, you know, the prerogative of those SOEs. Now, we can argue about the rightness or wrongness of that. That's a conversation for another day. But they were very clear as to what they were doing. It appears to me that in our understanding of our economy at the moment, we are still using the model that says use the SOEs to funnel or to be a conduit for money coming from the fiscus and into the economy by simply employing people and not necessarily expecting a return on that investment other than people being paid salaries so that they can spend in the economy. Is that not a dangerous assessment and a following of a model that has fundamentally not worked?
No, but you see, you're saying that we are saying that people must be trained. Unemployed youth must receive a basic skill, a technical skill. That skill must then be released into the market and they must go on to start their own businesses. They must go on to work in the private sector. We are not saying that SOCs must have a bloated workforce. We're certainly not saying that. What we are saying that part of the developmental economy is that SOCs firstly must understand that they've got a socioeconomic mandate and an objective. They must understand that they have to be financially independent. And they must balance those two together with, of course, SOCs generally provide an essential service to our country. And therefore, then, SOCs can't be willy-nilly closed down or wholly privatized.
But what about the fact that currently we've been having a situation where SOCs have been willy-nilly being bailed out by the fiscus, and we as a nation have not been getting much of a return on that?
But now, what is the alternative to that? So if you take
SOCs, there's a number of alternatives, Kashif. A lot of people have been talking about, for example, the unbundling of Eskom, for example, and perhaps even introducing some sort of equity, private equity in that situation, getting people that are profit-driven to run these organizations rather than the idea of companies that are have the older, perhaps, definition of a developmental organization and a general change in ideology. So what I'm saying is that there is not a shortage of alternative ideas, and whether they work or not, there's no shortage of those ideas. My question to you is, we have for the last 25 years been seeing our SOEs being bailed out with money from the fiscus that could have been doing other social priorities, and it seems not to be changing.
But now you're again assuming that if we speak about SOCs and profitability, that there cannot be a developmental component to it.
No, I'm not. I'm saying, in fact, that the idea of a developmental state and profitability are not mutually exclusive ideas. And maybe we agree there. But my issue is that the overall interpretation of a developmental state and organizations over the past 25 years has been that we don't need to make these SOEs profitable because they are conduits for stimulating the economy by giving people salaries, even though we are not getting a return on that investment. And I'm saying...
I think, first of all, SOEs must be financially independent.
Yeah.
they don't necessarily have to be profitable as a normal private company must be.
Yeah.
Now, for example, if you take Eskom, and you say that Eskom, some people say that Eskom has been functioning unprofitably or since 1994. Now, Eskom has electrified 8 million homes since 1994. Unprecedented, right? Now, that costs money. And that, of course, had to come out of Eskom's budget. Of course, at Eskom, there are reported cases of corruption and state capture, etc. And the different commissions are dealing with that. But Eskom has got a mandate to electrify homes and electrify the Gorgos home in a rural area, a village in Transkei. It has a mandate to skill young South Africans technically, and it also has a mandate to be financially independent. Now, all three of those must be balanced. You cannot drop the one in favor of the other. I always use this example, Aubrey. The issue of black economic empowerment, the issue of transformation, is a social imperative, but it also is an economic imperative. We can't have 70-odd% or so of the population not earning a living wage, because that person not earning a living wage means that that person won't be able to stimulate the economy at the end of the month when that particular person earned a salary, which is decent enough to buy an additional tin of baked beans.
So you are calling for a summit of South African black executives with the president. And I would imagine the president would say we had a workers' summit just in his previous term. I'm speaking at the moment to SOEs. In fact, I believe that particular meeting was taking place today, even as you and I speak, Kashif. Mm. What do you aim to get out of this South African Black Executives Summit?
I think, first of all, and President Ramaphosa has met with, I think, 20 SOCs earlier today.
Yeah.
And two key things came out of the summit, if I read the news report. One, that they acknowledge the challenges that senior executives have in implementing their mandate.
Yeah.
The challenges they have. Two, they acknowledge acknowledge that the opportunities which they have identified, the senior executives, and is calling on them to tell the state on how to strengthen him to realize these opportunities they've identified. So it is tight, it is common knowledge that there are challenges which prevent senior executives from implementing their mandate. And of course, they will differ from SOC to SOC and from different levels and bigger and smaller ones.
Yep.
But what we want to do is we want to have, and we're calling for, and I think the president has started that, by calling these senior executives of 20 SOCs and consulting with them and saying, tell me directly, what are your challenges? Because, for example, if you take Eskom, Eskom reports to National Treasury, reports to the Department of Public Enterprises, and it has a dotted line to the Department of Energy. So you actually have three bosses that the group CEO reports to, including the board. And that, of course, I mean, that is just red tape that a person who is nimble, a person who is fast, a person on
sure. And that's part of the complaints that Vuyani Jagana was said to have mentioned as to why he's resigned. So I suppose I understand that. Would somebody like the chief executive of Danel, current chief executive of Danel, Daniel Dutoy, be welcome at this meeting?
Of course. I think, in as much as we've said black professionals, we also mean progressive professionals. I think that there are various... Look, about the PPF, its founding statement and its founding ethos is that patriotic South Africans or patriotic South African professionals who want to contribute towards building the country, who wants to partner with the state and assist the state in achieving its objectives. I don't believe that the state's objectives are any different to any South African that walks the beautiful soil of this country.
And then why call it a summit for black executives then?
Okay, the summit for patriotic and black South Africans.
Okay, so
I think you're losing the essence of the.
No, I'm getting the essence. Yeah. What I'm confused by is if that's the case, a guy like Daniel Dutoy would probably be experiencing the very same challenges that you've just described, that Vuyani Jagana was describing. And would he feel feel welcome at this particular thing. I absolutely agree that your stated objectives are absolutely generous, but I'm just wondering, what was the thinking about just making it sound like it is for black executives?
That's for all executives. I think it's for Aubrey, it's for all patriotic South Africans. You see, part of the challenge we face, Aubrey,
yes,
as South Africans, we've been told that business people and we've been told that professionals must be independent of the state, must be critical of the state and the ruling parties, whoever they may be. And as soon as they are that, then you are this intellectual tower.
Yes.
What we as PPF are saying is that if you want the state to achieve its objectives, and we look at economies globally,
yes,
developed economies,
yes,
it's a close working relationship between the state and the private sector. And not one based on corruption, but one based on achieving a common objective. In this particular case, our focus is on inclusive economic growth, which will benefit all South Africans. And we're saying the state cannot do it alone.
Yeah,
the state requires the input of professionals such as you and I.
Yeah. So what is the end game ultimately with this? It sounds to me like it's a long-term sort of initiative, but what are you looking to get in the short term?
Look, I think in the short term, the state, who is the biggest shareholder and only shareholder in these SOCs, must put in place the conditions to allow senior executives who are competent, senior executives who are patriotic, senior executives who are energetic to run those SOCs and to report to shareholders on a biannual and annual basis. But give them the space to run those SOCs, of course, with a clear mandate of developmental, financially independent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Kashif Wickham, thank you. Kashif Wickham, thank you very much. And when do you imagine the summit could take place?
Look, we call the summit, and of course, we're going to push it with President Ramaphosa. And of course, when his diary is available, we'd want for that to happen. The president met with the SOC today, and I can't. We'd like to say that he did it because of our press statement, but we can't. But we certainly work with his office to see how soon we can have it. I think the sooner the better. Our country needs it, our people demand it, and senior executives certainly require it.
Kashif Wickham, thank you very much. President of the Progressive Professionals Forum.